and he continues to be a nincompoop. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 248. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host, and I'm glad you're with me today. Welcome. Our reading today is John 13 through 15, and then I'll have some comments. It'll actually be a triple header. Instead of just commenting on one little section, I'm going to comment on all three chapters today. There's a lot there, and I can't help myself. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are merciful, and we thank you for that. You're patient, and we're thankful for that. You're holy, and we praise you for that. You have called us, and we did not deserve that. Lord, help us to please you today. May your Holy Spirit give us power today to live completely and totally for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin. John chapter 13. It was now the day before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. He had always loved those in the world who were his own, and he loved them to the very end. Jesus and his disciples were at supper. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, the thought of betraying Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him complete power. He knew that he had come from God and was going to God. So he rose from the table, took off his outer garment, and tied a towel around his waist. Then he poured some water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Are you going to wash my feet, Lord?" Jesus answered him, "You do not understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later." Peter declared, "Never at any time will you wash my feet." "If I do not wash your feet," Jesus answered, "you will no longer be my disciple." Simon Peter answered, "Lord, do not wash only my feet then, wash my hands and head too." Jesus said, "Those who have taken a bath are completely clean and do not have to wash themselves except for their feet. All of you are clean, all except one." Jesus already knew who was going to betray him. That is why he said, "All of you except one are clean." After Jesus had washed their feet, he put his outer garment back on and returned to his place at the table. "Do you understand what I have just done for you?" he asked. "You call me teacher and Lord, and it is right that you do so, because that is what I am. I, your Lord and teacher, have just washed your feet. You then should wash one another's feet. I've set an example for you so that you will do just what I have done for you. I am telling you the truth. No slaves are greater than their master, and no messengers are greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know this truth, how happy you will be if you put it into practice. I'm not talking about all of you. I know those I have chosen, but the scripture must come true that says, 'The man who shared my food turned against me.' I tell you this now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. I'm telling you the truth. Whoever receives anyone I send receives me also, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." After Jesus had said this, he was deeply troubled and declared openly, "I'm telling you the truth. One of you is going to betray me." The disciples looked at one another, completely puzzled about whom he meant. One of the disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was sitting next to Jesus. Simon Peter motioned to him and said, "Ask him who he's talking about." So that disciple moved closer to Jesus' side and asked, "Who is it, Lord?" Jesus answered, "I will dip some bread in the sauce and give it to him. He is the man." So he took a piece of bread, dipped it, and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Hurry and do what you must." None of the others at the table understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas was in charge of the money bag, some of the disciples thought that Jesus had told him to go and buy what they needed for the festival. Judas accepted the bread and went out at once. It was night. After Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man's glory is revealed. Now God's glory is revealed through him. And if God's glory is revealed through him, then God will reveal the glory of the Son of Man in himself, and he will do so at once. My children, I shall not be with you very much longer. You will look for me, but I tell you now what I told the Jewish authorities. You cannot go where I am going. And now I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples. Where are you going, Lord? Simon Peter asked him. You cannot follow me now where I am going, answered Jesus, but later you will follow me. Lord, why can't I follow you now? Asked Peter. I'm ready to die for you. Jesus answered, Are you really ready to die for me? I'm telling you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will say three times that you do not know me. John chapter 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you know him, and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father, abiding in me, does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Get up, let us go from here. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He takes away every branch that does not bear fruit in me, He prunes every branch that bears fruit, so that it will bear more fruit. You are clean already because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, because apart from me you can accomplish nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a branch and dries up. And such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and are burned up. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is honored by this, that you bear much fruit and show that you are my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. My commandment is this, to love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because the slave does not understand what his master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have revealed to you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that remains, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you, to love one another. If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world would love you as its own. However, because you do not belong to the world, but I chose you out of the world, for this reason the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they obeyed my word, they will obey yours too. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But they no longer have any excuse for their sin. The one who hates me hates my Father too. If I had not performed among them the miraculous deeds that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen the deeds and have hated both me and my Father. Now this happened to fulfill the word that was written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also will testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. Let's talk about John 13. Do you remember when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was? Do you remember his answer? He quoted from Deuteronomy 6, and he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Did you notice the new commandment that Jesus gave the disciples in John 13 today? He said, "And now I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." So, how is that different than "you shall love your neighbor as yourself"? Well, it's different in a very fundamental way. There's a difference between my neighbor and other believers or one another. My neighbor means non-believers as well as believers. It really means anyone I come in contact with. There's a really good article at gotquestions.org that talks about this. I'll put a link in the show notes page. So when Jesus gave this new commandment, he said, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Remember the setting. This is Jesus having his final dinner with his disciples. He's talking to them. So how did he love them? He loved them not as he loved himself, but more than he loved himself. We are to love each other more than we love our own selves. We are to love sacrificially, forgivingly, patiently, and every other way that he loves us.
This takes love to a whole new level because honestly, sometimes I don't love myself very much. So setting the bar at loving my neighbor as I love myself is really not putting it very high. But loving more than I love myself is. And that could be a very difficult task indeed if not for the way Jesus changed the words. Instead of love your neighbor, he said, love each other. See, if I love my neighbor and he continues to be a nincompoop to me, then it's hard to keep doing it. If I love him as Christ loves me and he's a nincompoop, it's humanly impossible. With God loving him through me by the power of the Holy Spirit, that is the only way I can love my neighbor. But if we love each other as Christ does, then the command is much easier. If we treat each other as more important than ourselves, then the love of God will be evident to all around, because that kind of love just doesn't happen outside of God's love. And that's why Jesus said, "If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciple." Yes, believers can and do have differences, but we share so much in common. If we are truly His, then we, with His help, should be able to overlook those differences. Now, John 14. It wasn't all that long ago that tolerance was supposedly at the top of the list of political correctness. But we all know that that has been put aside. Today, wokeness supersedes all other forms of thought. At least, that's what gets the most media, both mainstream and social media. To buck that trend publicly is asking to be labeled as participating in hate speech, and that'll get you canceled. So when we say out loud in public what the Bible teaches, we find ourselves in opposition to the woke. And when we say that Jesus is the only way to God, we're close-minded, hate-mongering bigots. How, they say, can you say that there is only one way to God? Surely there are many ways, many roads, at least the ones who claim to be spiritual. Of course, many of the woke deny God's existence at all. But when they talk about there being many ways or paths to God, our reply only needs to point to what Jesus said in today's reading. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." We are not narrow and exclusive. Jesus is. No one comes to the Father except through him. Their argument is with him. You want to talk about many ways, many roads? In Matthew, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it." Yes, the way to God is exclusive and narrow. That's the bad news. The good news is that God loved the world so much that whoever believes in Jesus will be saved. The world, whoever, all are invited. That's good news indeed. Now, considering what Jesus said there, I do not think it was by chance that he said in John 15, "If the world hates you, it hated me first." Jesus had a good reminder for us today. He said, starting in verse 18 of John 15, "If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world would love you as its own. But because you do not belong to the world, because I chose you out of the world, for this reason, the world hates you." This has never been truer than it is today, beloved. If you haven't experienced it yet, you will. Well, you will, that is, if you're living life according to Jesus' commands. We're living in a perilous time, beloved, but we must not fear. We need to consider that a good thing when they hate us. Back in the late 60s, early 70s, there was a bumper sticker or t-shirt or something that asked the question, "If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" Beloved, let's give the world a mountain of evidence. Let there be no doubt that we believe and that this belief has made a difference in our lives. What are your thoughts? I invite your comments. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Our reading tomorrow will be the book of Titus. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Let him get some evidence on you today. Bye.